Today's daf from the Sechet Kiddushin brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're ready to go. So we're holding on the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, and we're up to the Tana Rabbanan. We were discussing the dinim of Yira and Kavod of Avaim and the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we got up to Pechein Bedin. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shutef in your creation, and therefore the Kavod and the Yira and the dinim of Klala are the same. Tana Rabban. Shlosha shetafinein ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv v'Imo. So when a person is b'chabed Aviv v'Imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's as if I was living right there in the house with them, then ma'ale ani alechem, ki'ilu darti b'nehem, and they were b'chabed me. And remember that we have ish v'isha shechina b'nehem, because that's the yud and the hey, which is the remez to the shechina, that exists between Ish v'Isha. So if they live together in this way, I view it as a kavod directly to me. Now, we know that there are two separate chiyuvim. One is kabed, et avich v'etimecha, we discussed yesterday, and one is Ish imo v'aviv tiro. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, you'll notice that there's a fascinating difference in the way that the pasuk talks about the male's relationship and the female's relationship. And this is why. Generally speaking, a son gives more kavod to a mother than to a father. Now, kavod does not mean what you think it means in English. Kavod means a care that comes from a sense of value, and therefore it involves speaking nicely, making me happy, bringing some cup of coffee, and so on and so forth. Those type of things, a ben is more likely to do for a mother than a father. And those are issues that, because, why is this? Shemeshadalto bidvarim. Because she basically always talks to him in ways, es mein kind, come, let me make you happy. So he feels that same relationship to her, because she basically is constantly working on him and on his emotions to encourage that kind of relationship. Because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in mentioning the chiyuv of kibud, it says, kabedet avicha v'et imecha. So therefore, the Torah puts first the chiyuv of kibud av, because that is not as natural. On the other hand, that a son is more in awe. This mityare is more like respect and reverence. That would be more what people think kavod is. And that is generally more towards the father. And he's the one that's telling him how to live and so on. And that's why when it comes to Mora, it says the Imo first, Tirau. Unbelievable. That's Ad Kedei Kach is the Diyuk to deal with your psychology. Toni Tanaka made a Reb Nachman. You know, Bizman Shadam Itzaret Avivet Imo, when a person causes pain to a parent, Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu, man, it's a damn good thing I don't live down there. They would have done the same thing to me. So they make their parents miserable, they make me miserable too. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Kola over Avera. We're talking already about where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashra Shrinasai. Somebody does an Avera in secret. Why is he doing the Avera in secret? Because he figures God doesn't see. Okay. So therefore, it's as if he's pushing HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the world. You know, I live all over. The earth is where I put my feet up on. And this guy, basically, you know, he's got himself a little place in which he believes I'm not there. On Rabbi Yishua ben Levi, this is true also even about somebody who walks with gaiva. So he's walking down the street like he owns the street. He's not supposed to be looking like that. Which means that the Shekhinah extends downwards. And if you do that, So then it's as if you're pushing away HaKadosh Baruch Hu from coming down into the world. Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua was makbid never to walk four amos with his head uncovered. Amar, he says, Shechina l'mala mireishi, who do I think I am? I have to be tsanua in the presence of the Shechina. Shol ben almanachat that Reb Eliezer, it's a very fascinating story. There was a boy who had no father, and he was the son of a widow. Reb Eliezer didn't know the boy. And he comes and he's learning by Reb Eliezer, asking him shailas. So he says to Reb Eliezer, my father says, give me a drink of water. And my mother says, give me a drink of water. So which one do I give the drink of water to first? Amale, leave the covet of your mother, which is giving her the drink of water. Of course, nowadays it's coffee, who would drink water? Vasei kvod avich, do bring your father a cup of coffee first. Why is this? Because ata ve'imecha chayavim b'chod avich. Because we see la halacha, a woman is mechuyevet to be mechabed ed ba'ala, as the Rambam says, as if he's a melech kodol, she wants to do all of his ritzenes. So therefore, you always go in order, the order of the priorities would be if your mother herself would drop her own cup of coffee in order to be able to bring your father a cup of coffee. So why are you bringing her a cup of coffee first? You should bring the cup of coffee to the father. Now that makes a heck of a lot of sense. That's what you should do first, because both you and your mother are chayiv in the chvod avich. So that's a bigger chiyuv. Then he comes to Rabbi Yeshua. He asks Rabbi Yeshua the same question. Rabbi Yeshua gave him the same answer. So Omar Loz, he says to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi, but what if she gets divorced? There's a garsha mahu. So this is such a brilliant insight. I mean, the way I understand the Gemara is that Rabbi Yeshua sensed that this kid is obsessed. There's something weird about the questions. I mean, what if she gets divorced? And he had already asked the question to Rabbi Eliezer. Why is he asking the question to me? There's something funny in which the child is searching for a parent. That's the point. So Mimela, he feels these inyanim of kibud av ha'em, he'll never be able to be mechabed his father. His father died. He looked sad. He looked like he's been crying. So Rabbi Yeshua says to him, listen here, boy. I can see from your eyes that you don't have a father. What are you asking all these questions? Don't think it's magical. It's not magical having parents. It's not magical having the mitzvah of kibud av and kibud em that you should be so obsessed as if your life has been destroyed. It hasn't been destroyed. It's a mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah. And, you know, it's the things that you need to do in life. So let me tell you something. You could take your coffee and you could put it into a cup. And then if you had a couple of chickens, right, you would sit there and you give this chicken to drink and that chicken to drink. You go, coo, 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 and they come and they drink. Okay? That's what it's like. Don't over-romanticize things and drive yourself crazy, because you'll become obsessed. Get this out of your system, boy. So I tell them, my besefa v'kakalem ketanagolim. Pretend that they're roosters. Obviously, I never would have said this if you really had parents, but the point is that this is part of life. It's part of chiyuv. That's how I understand the Gemara. A lot of people talk about what kind of weird kind of business is this. I think this is a very poignant and beautiful way to understand it. Dorash Ula Rabba Piskot Venesia. So here was Ula standing there, mamish at the house of the Nasi. My dechsiv yoducha Hashem kol machayoretz ki shamu imre picha. So all of the kings of the world are finally going to come and recognize you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they heard the things that you stated. Well, what did they say, ma'amar picha? What did they imre picha? They heard the various things that you said. So, I mean, it seems to be referring to some kind of issue over here, because the truth is, b'sha'asha amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu anochi. So that was the mamar piv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi lo yelecha, that we hear, so to speak, mi piv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they heard that. So the Yuma Yisraelim said, so all that God is interested in is seeing to it that, you know, he's the big boss and that we should all honor him, and because that's the way Goyim look at religion. And okay, so the big boss says, man in the sky, all right, okay, boss, You know, God is my partner. Sure enough. All right, we'll do whatever you say, boss. Okay. Then, after that, they heard, all of a sudden they see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the same covet to the Av and the Aim. So that means that this is an existential issue. It's not nothing to do with bossiness. It has to do with the recognition of where life comes from, what your life is. Then Imre Picha, when they heard the other statements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chazru v'hodu l'mamarot v'shono, then they went and they were masking that they had misinterpreted. Rava says that's a much better pasuk than that to make this drasha. So he says, I'll tell you, Ula's learning it from there. Imre Picha is a fantastic pasuk, which we say on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Dvorcha Emet. So what is Rosh Dvorcha Emet? Well, only the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's things are true and not the end? I don't understand. V'lo Sov Dvorcha Ela, that's the point. Misov Dvorcha Nikar Sherosh Dvorcha Emet. After we hear all of the Tzivuyim on our Sinai, then we recognize that it was pure truth that you were saying with Anochi Lo Yelecha and not Chas V'Chalila Kvod Atzmo Doresh. El Roi, Yesh Lecha She'ela Shenogei Achshav?
זה נוגע לקודם.
מה?
מה זה אומר שאסור ללך 400 בקומה זקופה?
יש אנשים שמתהלכים ברחוב כאילו הרחוב שלהם. זה קומה זקופה.
אז זה לא אומר שצריך ללכת בכפיפות, כמו שיש אנשים שהולכים בכפיפות ממש.
אולי הם מרגישים את הקומה זקופה ברגע שהם יוצאים לגבות. תמיד, כן, זה מובא באמת מהראשונים, להסתכל למטה, לא כאילו שאתה מסתכל בכל אדם בפנים, וכאילו שאתה עומד להתקוטט. מעניין, גם אצל החיות זה ככה. הצורה, איך שהם מחזיקים את עצמם, ואיך שהם מסתכלים, זה גורם או מלחמה או הכנעה מחיה אחרת. Okay, anyway, getting back to this, בואו מיני מירוב אולה. עד היכן כיברה ואין. Like, how much would you have to actually go to be מחבד? אמר להם, he said, listen, you want to know? You can learn this from the goyim. Because the idea over here is the nature of the way that people should feel just בדרך הטבע, in terms of the Derech Eretz. You're asking me what the halacha is mechayev. Here was a maisa of a certain guy who lived in Ashkelon, and his name was Dama ben Etina, famous maisa. Pa'am achat bikshu chachamim pragmatia b'shishim ribo sachar. They once came and wanted to make a deal with him. Later on, we're going to hear the details of the deal. And he would have made a profit of 600,000 dinarim, which is the dinari zav, and that would have been mamish. I mean, millions and millions of dollars. And Hayam Avtech Menach Tachan Menashotav Shel Aviv. He could not get to what it is that they wanted. He was running a jewelry business. Turns out they wanted to buy jewels in order to make the ephod. And the key to their chest that had the most expensive, the safe that had the most expensive jewels was under his father's pillow. And his father was sleeping. And he said, go to somebody else. I can't sell it to you. But let's see, he refused to bother his father. Omar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Sha'alu et Rebbe Eliezer. My father Zatzal always said, this is a goyish kibbut aveim. Can you imagine how much tsar his father had when he woke up and realized he lost $100 million because he overslept? What kind of crazy story. Anyway, Omar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Shalut Rabbi Eliezer, Adechon Kibbut Aveim, Amar Lehem. He gives the details. Suru, Ma Asal Vikoch Vimachad Laviv Ba'ashkelon. Take a look what this guy did, the way that he says it. Look what he did to his father. Okay, fine. So here's the cover that he gave to his father. This guy's name is Dama Benetina. Boy, he was a dummy. So it was Dama Benetina. Bikshu Mimenu Chachomim Avanim Leifod. This is like a jeweler's dream, right? Someday somebody's going to ask me for the rarest stones. I'm the only guy that's got, oh my God, this was a dream come true. So he would have made hundreds of millions on this. Shishim ribo sachar. Rav Kahana says, what are you talking about? It was 800,000 dinarim, not 600. Anyway, and the mafteach was munach tachat roshotav shel aviv v'lo tziaro. So the next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him sachar. And what happened? Noldalo pora aduma be'edro. He has a pora aduma. They've been waiting to find a pora aduma for decades. This guy suddenly gets a pora aduma. So the chachamim come in to negotiate, you know, how much do you want for the pora aduma? So he says to them, listen, I may be dumma, but I'm no dummy. Let me tell you something. You think I don't know what a pora aduma is worth? You have no choice. You need a pora aduma. I can ask you for anything, but I'm not going to ask you for anything. All I want, I lost all of that money last year. You wanted to buy the ephod. I want that profit. That's what I want for my pora. So he didn't want to be mavad. In other words, he apparently understood that obviously if it can't be unrelated, the stories, if he was zeichet or pora aduma. So it was there in order to repay him, but he didn't want to take extra sachar. He felt this was the whole meaning of his life. He's going to sell it. So listen, somebody who is enu mitzuba v'yaisa, there's no chiyav of kiva ava em on a goy. And nonetheless, take a look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for him, gives him all of the sachar. So can you imagine somebody who had a mitzvah and he does it with the chiyav? It's a much greater madrega to do a mitzvah because you have a tzivoy to do it than to do it because you volunteer. Again, the opposite of Esav's vision. Oh, the volunteer, that's the greatest, the volunteer. But the point is, the volunteer is worshiping no one but himself. And a mitzvah v'yaseh is doing something that is not defined by his own desire to do, but he's doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. That's the tzav, that's the resource, that's l'doros, as Rashi says. Achshav l'dorot. So that's much greater. Okay, there's other, you know, pshat, but that's the real pshat, that's the underlying pshat. The other issues are there, like Tosfos brings, somebody's a mitzvah v'yaseh, he's constantly concerned and he's worried about it, whereas the guy's not mitzvah v'yaseh, okay, you know, so it's basically, the way he puts it is, pot b'salo, you know? So he's got, if he doesn't feel like doing it today, so he doesn't do it. Okay, no big deal, so there's no pressure. Okay, but that's, the real existential meaning is very powerful. You see it all the time. The difference between volunteers and the people that are actually doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, it's much easier to do and to feel enthusiastic when you're leading everything on the basis of what you feel is right, what you feel is wrong. That's true. And that's why when we would want to see Ad Heichan Kibbut Av, that's where we would like to go. Look at that. You'd like to be like that. Okay. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was blind. You know, he says, I used to think that it's better to be putter from the mitzvahs and to do them. And Rav Yehuda said that Suma is putter min mitzvahs, that a blind person is not chayav in mitzvahs. So when I would hear from someone, that's how we paskin. Oh, I'd make a party. I would say, wow, this means I'm really on a big madrega. I'll be zeichet elam haba because I'm doing everything because I do it as a volunteer. I do mitzvahs anyway, and I don't have to. But now, Rabbi Chanina has opened up my eyes. So after the Shemati Lodi Omer Rabbi Chanina, on the contrary, it's just the opposite. If you have the mitzvah, you're on a much higher madrega. Adarabba. Now it's exactly the opposite. When somebody tells me, yeah, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We hold that a summa is chayav a mitzvah. Now when I hear that, I make a pardon. Avidna yumat avla rabbana. You know, there's more stories about this Dhamma ben Atina. When Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, this guy, this Dhamma ben Atina, so he was once, he was a very, very rich man and had a lot of political influence. And he was once wearing a sirkon. Like a sirkon is very expensive silk with gold. Oh, shush. you idiot. So, well, as you can see, I don't have a, go away. Don't say that. Can you imagine? That's not nice. Chutzpah. All right. Anyway. Barry's not here, but Siri thinks that I said, call Barry expensive. That's not nice. Okay. Now we get rid of this thing. Now go away. That may be beyond my ability. Okay. I give up. I have to disconnect this thing. All right. So there was another mice. So you're sitting there wearing this incredible gold embroidery on the most expensive material. And you're sitting there, you know, with a very important meeting of the Roman Senate, and so Yoshi Ben Gedali Raimi, his mother, who was totally senile, his mother comes into the room. She rips off this gorgeous thing that he's wearing, and then she hits him over his head, and she spits in his face, and he wouldn't say a thing. Tony Avimi Berev de Rebbe Abo, you know, the idea of kiddush has so much to do with psychology. It has to do with your attitude. It has to do with the relationship. It's not just a function of doing the physical things that are needed. It's possible to spend your life feeding your father pheasant, most expensive kind of meal, and it's going to take you out of this world and drive you into hell. And there's someone who could be mechabed his father by making his father work at a grindstone, and that brings him into Olam Haba. So how is that possible? This is an actual maisa, as Rashi brings. So it was once the story of a guy who used to feed his father pheasant every day. The price of a meal of pheasant is like $500. So his father asks him, gosh, like, where do you get all of this from? And he says, don't you worry about it, old man. Just chew away, chew away. So that guy, that kind of attitude, where he shows he's resentful, doesn't have any dignity, that destroys his life. And then there was another mice, a guy had an old father, was taking care of him, and they get a summons from the Malchus. In those days, remember, something needed to be done, the ditches needed to be dug, new palace needs to be built. You know, okay, so you take conscripts. So you get a summon, conscripting his father for a work gang. This guy, his son, he worked on grinding things. He would literally work on a millstone. So he tells his father, listen, who knows how long this thing is going to be for? I mean, they can conscript you sometimes for 20 years. I mean, you're an old man. You can't do this. Let me go. I know that that's terrible, because then you're going to have to take over my job. It's the only way that we live. But it's going to be a lot easier working on this millstone than on getting God knows what in your life for the next 20 years. That was the case where he explained it nicely, and the father, of course, was happy that his son did this for him. And then Achinami, that can bring you to Chaye Olam Haba. Omer Rebbe Abo, I mean, you want to know what Kibbutz Av is? Let me tell you about my son, Avimi. That boy, he knows what Kibbutz Av Haim is, says Rebbe Abo. Now, you should know that Rav Avimi himself had 5 sons, all of whom were smuchim while his father was still alive. This means that his house was filled with Talmidei Chachamim Gedolim. And when Rabbi Abo would come to knock on the door of the house, Avimi himself, he wouldn't allow any of his sons to open the door. He would jump up and he would run to open it himself, because mitzvah shebegufa is odif. And the whole time that he was running to the door, he was shouting out, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm on my way, be there in a sec. In, adam atay, adam, until he got to the door. And one time, the father was in the house, and he asks his son, Avimi. So Rabbi Avo asked Avimi, could you bring me a cup of water? So Avimi goes, brings the cup of water, he gets back, and he finds his father fell asleep. He wasn't going to wake up his father to give him a cup of water. On the other hand, he didn't want to wait, that his father should wait to ask him again for a cup of water after already asked him. So by the time he got the water back, he'd fallen asleep. So Avimi stayed there, bent over his father till the minute he would open up his eyes, And that way, he would be able to give him the water on the spot. And because of that zchus, istaya milte, there was a tremendous siyata d'shmaya that he had. He had been working on the mizbar of mizmar la'asaf, Elohim, bo goyim nachalatech, and so on. And it had bothered him for years. What does that mean, mizmar la'asaf? How can there be a mizmar? It should say kina la'asaf. This is talking about Elohim, bo goyim nachalatech, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. He's saying a mizmar. So this Rashi understands it. It's a reference to the Medrash. That why does it say mizmar la'asaf? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his kas and his chema against Klal Yisrael to, instead of chas v'shalom causing them to be harmed more, to take it all out on that which was so yakar. We see you, Trevor, we see you. To take it all out on the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sheifech es chamasoy ala etzim ve'ala vanim, and if it wouldn't have been for that, lo haya sorid v'polid to Yisrael. And Tosis brings another beautiful approach, and he says that Asaf was one of the grandchildren and children of Korach. So basically, what it's a reference to is referring to Tavu Ba'aretz She'areha. So it says the gates of Yerushalayim were swallowed up in the earth. So on that, he said Shira. Right? So why did he say Shira? Very cute approach. So it says a mushal. So he gives a little fable. Here is a poor peasant girl, and she goes to get water out of a well. And she's got this one little bucket, this busted up plastic bucket. It's not worth anything, but it's all she has. She drops the bucket in the well. She's devastated. So then, as she's sitting there crying, what's going to be? I'll never get to see my bucket again. So the princess comes from the palace carrying a golden bucket. She drops the golden bucket into the well. So the peasant girl says, oh, Baruch Hashem, when I drop my bucket, I know nobody's ever going to go down there to get my bucket. But now when they got $1 million bucket, believe me, someone will be down there in 10 minutes. They'll pick up already all the buckets out of the well. I'll get my buckets back. So since the B'nai Korach were baluim, so some of the B'nai Korach were baluim, so they said, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu drops the walls of Yerushalayim into the ground. The same way he's going to go to get those walls, he'll go to take us out also. Very sweet. Anyway, so he was zeicha to see that because this moment, this is what he was thinking about while he was sitting there over his father, waiting for his father to wake up his eyes. He was zeicha to see the mizmar la'asaf. You know, I have a real problem. I don't know what to do. Listen, my parents are crazy over me, and it's embarrassing. I don't know what to do. If I come back from the Beis HaMedrash, so first of all, my father makes me a cup of coffee. My mother brings me a cup of wine. Well, what am I supposed to do? They're being mechabed me. I feel terrible. Should I take it from them? Omar Lay, Sabaya said, look, from your mother, you should be mekabelet. From your father, don't be mekabelet. Your father's a big Talmud Chacham. And because he's a Bar Torah, in the end, he's going to feel Chalishas Hadas. Lamaisa, the priest can paskin that in the event that the parent is insistent, and this is what they want, that of course, that's Ritzon Adam Zeo Kvodo. So that becomes, because that's the point. As we said, Kavod does not mean what you think it means. That's why Ritzon Adam Zeo Kvodo. Making the person happy with what makes them happy, that's Kavod. Rabbi Tarfon had this mother, and the way that he was mechabed her was kol emas davibay lemesek lepuri. If she needed to get into bed, he would bend down and tell her to climb on his back to get into bed. So gochin v'salikla. And when she needed to get out of bed, kol emas davinochis nachdemuye, she would get out of bed and step on him. So when he was in the Beis HaMedrash, and they were talking about this sugya, ad hechon kibud avim, so he would say, listen, this is what I do. I feel that this way, I'm mamish being mekayim the mitzvah, even though you would think it's like a bizoyan. On the contrary, I hold that it's a cover to do the mitzvah this way. So also v'kamish mishtabach b'midrash. So they told him, dain lo ikat alachatzi, that you call covet. And what about the story? This was an actual story that happened, we're going to talk about, did she ever take your wallet with a few thousand bucks in it and throw it into the harbor just for fun? And you didn't say anything, huh? Yeah. It's easy to do stuff like that where it doesn't cost you any money. We're going to get to the sugya of money, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow in terms of the Kibud Av V'Aim on the next daf. Rabbi Yosef, if he heard the footsteps of his mother coming, he would say, I'm jumping up. Eku mikam shechina da'asya. I need to stand up because of the approaching shechina. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you one thing. Anybody who's lucky enough never to have known his parents should make a party. Ashrei mi shelo chama'an, like me. I never met my parents because let me tell you, once you meet them, there's no way that you could possibly give them enough. You're never going to be able to be mekayim this chiyuv, and you're always going to be shortchanging yourself in olam haba. So Ashrei mi shelo chama'an, you should be very happy. Rabbi Yochanan, the moment his mother conceived him, his father died. The moment his mother gave birth to him, his mother died. It's the same thing that happened with Esther. The same thing was with Abaye. Abaye never saw any parents. Really? Abaye never saw parents? How come Abaye is always quoting his mother? I mean, we've had thousands of times here. My mommy told me. He always says, my mommy told me. So, I mean, how did he not have a mommy if his mommy told him? No, that, come on, you know that. That was his nanny. That was his nursemaid. She raised him, and he was machabed her as if it was his mother. And there's actually a beautiful, I forgot who says it, there's a beautiful remez in Abaya's name. Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom, which is from the upcoming Haftorah. Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom. So his name itself is merames to the fact that he was an orphan boy. We were talking about the extent of Kibud Av V'Aim. So he had a very old mother, and one day she says to him, you know, I need jewelry, I want to be young again. So he made jewelry for her. Then she said, listen, we think an old lady, I need a man. So Ravasi says, okay, I'll try to get your shit up. He's talking to his mother. So then she says, nah, I want someone as beautiful as you. So he realized she's flipping out, and he better get out of here. So Shavka v'yozel arad Yisrael. So he left her behind, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. This is what they bring as the mocha of the Rambam, that if a parent has gone insane, or it's impossible to deal with them, for you to deal with them, you need professionals to deal with them, or someone that they don't feel that they can get away with everything to deal with them. So then it's mutter to leave them. This is, you can't do anything. And to have somebody else look after them. So he left and went to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, when he's in Eretz Yisrael, Shoma de Gazla Batre. So he hears he gets this message from somebody. Your mother's following you to Israel. So also Lakame Rabbi Yochanan. So he comes to Rabbi Yochanan and he asked him, am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go? I'll go meet her. Am I also not allowed to? How about if it's for my mother? I'm going to go out to meet my mother. Nikrat ima mau. Am I any idea? I'm not sure whether that element of the covet that you would be helping her, showing her, if that would be mutter, be doicha the yisr to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Ravasi went back a little bit. Then he came back to ask again, what do you think? Am I leis? Rabbi Yochanan said to him, I see. You've made up your mind, you have to go, you know. So apparently you're ready to go back to Bavo. Nitratseta Latseit. Amokum Yachzircha L'Shalom. That's how Rashi learns that Rabbi Yochanan thought that he wanted to go back home, and he wasn't asking that, you know. He just wanted to go meet his mother. That's how Rashi understands. It's not clear why Rashi understands it that way. Pashtus could be that he said, listen, I see you've made up your mind. You want to go out to greet your mother. So may you come back here, Teretz Yisrael, B'chaim L'Sholem. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. Probably because of the way that the Gemara continues, which is that Ravasi was very confused about what Rabbi Yochanan told. So also Lakame the Rabbi Elazar. So he came to ask Rabbi Elazar, like, how do you interpret what he said? I don't know the way he spoke to me. Maybe he was like mad at me. And he just thought that I was a jerk. He said, all right, look, you made up your mind, the heck, go. Rabbi Elazar said, what exactly did he say to you? He said, Amakom yachzirchal shalom. No, Rabbi Elazar said to him, that's not what he would have said if he was angry. He may have misunderstood you, I don't know, but he certainly is not angry. He doesn't speak sarcastically or anything like that. And if he said to you a brocha, then he's not going to tell you a brocha if he's angry. Meanwhile, before he actually gets all the way, according to Rashi, or before he meets up, he gets a message that she was following him to Eretz Yisrael in a coffin, meaning she had died. If I would have known that she died, I wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael, because there's no particular covet in going out. Apparently, this is the way most Rishonim learned, that there's no covet for sure that would be deicha, leaving Eretz Yisrael, the Yisrael of leaving Eretz Yisrael, to go just to greet the coming coffin of a parent. That would definitely not have been deicha. Others learn that it means if I would have known that apparently I caused her such grief that she actually died and then from mourning over my leaving, so I would never have left to come to Eretz Yisrael. All right, it's very unclear precisely what's going on, but there's a basis for all of these different pshatim. Tana Rabbanan, and this indeed brings up the other question. Is there a mitzvah of kavod after the death of the parent? Because, I mean, here he says, I never would have gone out to greet her coffin. But the truth is, b'chabdo b'chayavu b'chabdo b'moto. There is a getter of kavod. But the kavod le'achar moto is not what you're talking about. Let me explain to you what kavod would be in terms of showing publicly an element of kavod. So, ketzad. So let's say that you're in a location where people respect the father. Sanishma bidvar avim. The makom lo yomar shachuni b'shvil atzmi. So let's say these people are very nice to you also. They respect you also. Say you're in the makolet, whatever, you need service, and they're taking their time. So instead of saying, listen, I got to go, will you please give me? You say, listen, my father is waiting. So in other words, everything should be l'chvod avi. That's the point. But obviously that's only in a place where they respect the father. So lo yomar shachuni b'shvil atzmi. Come on, I got to get out of here. Ma'aruni b'shvil atzmi. Pitruni b'shvil atzmi. Let's get this over with. Kulo b'shvil abba. And when we say there's a chiyav of kavod le'achar moto, how is that? So let's say, omer dvar shmua mipi. He's saying something over from his father. So he shouldn't say, kach omar abba. He should say, kach omar abba mori. Hareini kaparat mishkavo. I should be a kapora for him, because during the first year, after death, if Chas v'Sholom, his father needed a kapora, then he should take upon himself. After all, it says, Avotenu chat'u ve'enam, va'anachnu et avonoteyam savalnu. So it says, Beferish, that there's a getter of being sevel for the chet of a father. So he's saying that I should be the kapora for him. My sevel should be a kapora for him. But that's only within 12 months. But mikan ve'elach omer zichrona levracha l'chayei olam haba. After 12 months, because if you say 12 months, what are you saying? He's a Russia to burn in hell forever. I mean, even a Russia, Sheber Rishayim, unless he's Mamish Persha Yisrael. But if he's a Russia, so even so, after 12 months, he would already be mischaper. So you shouldn't say, Arini Kaparas Mishkama. It's a whole big problem over here with this Gemara. Because the minhag is to say Kaddish only for 11 months. Because you don't want to, the Kaddish is an aliyas neshama for the father, and you don't want to imply that the parent was a Rasha and that he has to stay 12 months in Gehenna, so we stop at 11 months. And over here it says to say Arini Kaparat Mishkavo until 12 months. I mean, that's even a little bit more powerful than the Kaddish, no? I don't know. Okay, there's a lot of discussion about why we don't take this into consideration. My father Zatzal asked me to say Kaddish for him specifically all 12 months except for one day. So עד כדי כך that I'm a total Russia, but definitely I don't want to give up on any kind of kapara that I could have. don't be saying the Kaddish until the end. So Tana Rabban, Chacham, so let's say that you are giving a shir, and there is a meturgama. Now, you're quoting your father in the shir. So the Chacham, he can't quote his father by name, and he can't quote his Rebbe by name. He has to say, my father, Mavi Mori, and so on, or Rebbe Mori. But he doesn't say the name of the father. Turgaman, enu mishane, lo shem aviv, velo shem rabo. But the Turgaman who's saying over the shir, he should not change the name of his father or the name of his Rebbe. Who's father? Who's Rebbe? What are you saying? You're saying that if the Chacham quoted the father of the Turgaman, then the Turgaman should say the name of his father? What? I don't understand. Ilem avod of a Turgaman, what? Turgaman lav barach yuv? What are you saying? A Turgaman is not b'chuyiv and kibet avayim. I don't get what you're saying. Elam harava, no. The Chacham says Avi Mori. But the Turgaman doesn't say the Chacham said Avi Mori. The Turgaman says the name of Aviv Mora, right? Like, for instance, to mean Shem Aviv and Shem Rabo Shalach Chacham, Kehod Mar Bar Ravashi. Let's say, Mar Bar Ravashi. His father was Ravashi. Obviously, he quoted his father very often. So when he was giving a shir, Kehavi Dorish Bepirka, and he would say something, the name of Ravashi, he would say Abba Mori. But the Amora would say Achiyama Ravashi. That's the point. So he would quote the name. Tana Rabbana. We know that we have two completely different mitzvahs, and we spoke yesterday about the difference in why it is that we're makdim the Aviv in terms of giving him kavod in the pasuk, and we're makdim im in terms of giving her yira in the pasuk. But those are two different pesukim. And two different chiyuvim, isha avivim batiro. But what exactly, how do we define kavod, and how do we define yira? Obviously, it has to have a clear halachic definition. So mora is showing a sense of profound awe and respect. Lo omed bimekomo, lo yoshev bimekomo. Don't stand in a place where one's father, that's his makom, where he stands in the Beis HaMedrash or in meetings, whatever. You don't sit in his place at the table. Lo soter dvarav, you don't contradict something that a father said. And lo machri'o, when there's a machlokas and the father has an opinion, so you don't say there to weigh in, to go on the other side, or some are even on the same side. Who are you? We'd ask you for your opinion, little one. You know, so keep your distance. Fine. What is kibud? Kibud is machil, mashke, malbish, mechase, machnis, umotzi. Kibud means to show care, basically. And that means bring him food, bring him coffee, dress him, cover him, bring him in and out. If he needs a wheelchair, wheel the chair. Okay, Rabosai. Wishing you a wonderful day of Besuras Teves. And Yishuas Hashem, Keherav Ayin, Ezes Hashem, to save Eretz Yisrael from all of the Oivim, Seinim, from within, from without, from around. We should be Zocha to that Yishuas Hashem. Kol Tov, everyone. Hatzalach.